We are looking at the churches in the Revelation, and I'm not going to take very long tonight because I want to pray. I want to get the men to come, and I want to pray. But I do want to, before we pray and bring these things to the Lord, and just to kind of finish this up from last week and try to cut it off so we can get right into prayer tonight. I feel a need for that and a leading for the Lord to do that tonight. So it's not going to be deep in the Bible tonight. As far as I plan it, we're going to get into prayer and it's like a family time tonight. Amen. We're together. We've been sharing things and we want to pray one for another and see God answer these prayers. But I like to think that we're looking at churches, how they're going to be when Christ comes back. And a lot of people have a wrong idea how things are going to be when Christ comes back. And the Lord gave seven different types of churches from John's day to give us a picture of what it's going to be like just before he comes back and in the final 7 years before he sets up his 1,000-year reign on the earth and over the earth. And he's saying that the churches will go into these final 7 years. And we said that one church is going to be like the Ephesian church, and that church has everything right except that they don't love what they're doing for the Lord because they're doing it in their own strength. Faith works by love, Galatians 5. And the Lord said, do the first works, which are faith and love. And if you're not depending on the Lord and getting grace from him each day, you're going to get real discouraged on the inside. On the outside, you might keep a stiff upper lip, but on the inside, and when you go into the 70th week and we have more of these pandemics, you know, Brother Jose just told me about Lyme disease and he may have gotten reinfected. Pray for him. And I had to deal with high blood. You know, you got so many things going on. And, you know, I found out that what was the name of that island? Plum Island. That Hitler actually had ticks on there to infect people. And it was launched by him originally, and it caused Lyme disease and all of that. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying to you is we live in an evil world, and there are all these things that are going on. You may have seen the things coming out about a Wuhan lab. How many heard about now they're admitting it was in the Wuhan lab, and now the mainstream media is admitting it. You say, why is the mainstream media admitting it? I don't know. I like to think that they want the war in the Ukraine because it's their globalist war, and they want to fight Russia. And Russia, now China just sided with Russia openly and said, we're going to back Russia. So now you got the corrupt West, very corrupt, against the corrupt East, and they're getting ready, you know, to fight over this thing, and it's all posture. And the globalists want their program, and so it's all this stuff going on. And when we go into the 70th week, and you don't have the Lord, and you're not depending on the Lord, you're not going to be able to make it. You can't do it in your strength. And so the Ephesian type church, which has been a great church, it won't make it until the second coming. Their candlestick will be removed, the Lord said. And so we need to keep our first love. Amen? And then there's another church that won't make it, and that's the Smyrna church. Not for a bad reason. They do everything right. And the Lord is going to let that church willingly offer themselves up as a sacrifice, as a witness for Jesus Christ. And don't think that's not something that could happen to you or to me, and that's a horrible thing. It's not. Even Eric Slobodnik said, I'd rather die for something than from something. And so that church will be, during the Great Tribulation, that church will be no more because everybody will be killed. But thank God it will be a witness for Christ. And then we said that we had the Catholic-type churches, the Pergamum and Thyatira church, and they will be here during the 70th week and through the tribulation, but they're really not going to suffer much at all. And Brother Jose shared last week why they're not going to suffer. They're not going to suffer because they take the mark. And they've been born in compromising with the world. And so this will just be another, well, we're going to still worship the Lord. We're still going to go to church. We're still going to love to do good things. We're just going to make sure that we can function. And we can't function unless we take this mark. And so it will be something small to them to give allegiance as the top lord, the beast. And in doing that, the Bible says, you'll not be able to get saved. And there'll be some kind of a identification on the hand or the forehead, and you'll buy or sell with it. Now, that type of church will do that. The Catholic type of church in the main will do that. But then how about the Protestant type churches? Well, the Catholic type church is going to go into the day of the Lord and be slain and be squashed, slain by the Lord's mouth and squashed by the day of the Lord's judgments that are just going to come one after the other. But the Protestant type churches, they're going to have mostly dead people in them. You have a name to live, he said, you're dead. And so when they get in there, something is going to happen to them at the second coming. And what is that? That's going to happen to the Protestant type churches at the second coming, who are not really taught prophecy, and most of these people are nominal. They have a nominal faith, a head faith, but it's a dead faith, and they're going to wind up not getting raptured. But what does the Bible say as far as the second coming? They won't be slain, it doesn't say, or squashed. But the phrase that's used, or the word that's used, is what? It's an S word. They'll be what? They will be surprised. Right. Many of you know that. They'll be surprised by the second coming of the Lord, and surprised as a thief in the night. You see, the surprising as a thief in the night is not a good thing. A thief can get in your house like he did a guy I knew in Florida and hide and then get up in the middle of the night and bop you over the head and take your stuff. And so it's going to be that way. When the Lord comes back, they're going to be surprised when they see the rapture happen. They're going to be surprised that it's coming, because they too have taken the mark, and they're going to go into the day of the Lord and be judged with the world. And so there's the Protestant type churches. And then of course, we know that the Laodicean type churches, the wishy-washy, oh yes, they will be vomited out of the Lord's mouth at the rapture. He'd be like, no, I'm not taking you up. And they're mostly dead, because he's on the outside knocking at the door of that church. And a lot of these churches with light shows and the great rock concerts and all of that, while they sprinkle Jesus in there, my friend, lukewarm. God will spew them out of his mouth. And so there is a church that will be here and will be preserved through the beginning of sorrows, through the great tribulation, for the main, and will be here. And this church will be here and will survive and remain until the second coming and be caught up in the rapture. And does anybody know what church that is? Do you know what church that is? What church is that?
Philadelphia.
That's the Philadelphian type church. So let's go there, because we were there last week. And just look at chapter 3 with me. And verse number 11. Actually, let's look at verse 10. The great promise there, because we talked about that last week. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So here's a church that keeps the word of God. Amen. They go through open doors, and they're not denying his name. They're witnessing for Jesus Christ. And even during the beginning of sorrows, they keep the doors open. They keep worshiping. They keep serving God. They're not like the Ephesian church. They're depending on the Lord. And so they're in love with the Lord. They're enjoying serving God. And they're able even to go into the great tribulation. And for the most part, they will be protected during the great tribulation because they're going to come out at the other end. And in light of that, I'd like to share a verse with you. Go to Matthew 24. I think we looked at this before for the Philadelphian type church. Matthew chapter 24. And see if we can find it there. Matthew 24. And verse number, I'm going to look for Matthew 24 and find it with me at verse 13. All right, Matthew 24, this is the Philadelphian type Christian, Philadelphia type church. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. Now, what is that talking about? One of the men, when it says endure to the end, and be saved. What's that talking about? If you know, raise your hand. Endure to the end and be saved. All right, Brother Kyle, I'm gonna get my aerobics here. Amen.
By not taking the mark of the beast or going along with the Antichrist New World Order at that day and age.
That's right. All right, so that is what it is to endure to the end. And it's the end of what? The end of the great tribulation. Like he just said, not taking the mark of the beast. And somehow being preserved alive through that as they witness for Christ. Because remember, the Philadelphian church is a soul winning church. It is a missionary church. It's a witnessing church. Don't let Satan shut your mouth. Some of the hardest times of my life as I look back, the hardest trials of my life, I'm so glad I kept my commitment to witness for Christ. And so endure to the end of the tribulation, the same shall be saved. Now, Brother Bob, I know you know this, so I'm not even going to be afraid. Saved by what?
By the upper taker.
Saved by the upper taker. In other words, this church is promised that they're going to be raptured. By the way, you say, when is the rapture? At the end of the tribulation, but before the day of the Lord's wrath. And that is not at the end of the 7 years, it's during the final second 3.5 years that God will cut short the persecution of the beast and the Antichrist by cosmic darkening, and the whole sky will be dark, and that will stop the beast and the Antichrist. But then the Lord will appear, his glory will appear and lighten the sky. And it says that those that alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now you say, well, what about those that didn't? What about the Smyrnans? Well, they're going to be raised from the dead first, 1 Thessalonians 4, right? And then we'll meet him together. So if you're dead in Christ, you're not going to miss the rapture. But there are going to be these Philadelphians that will be alive right up until Christ comes back and will survive, and they'll be saved. Now you say, does that mean they won't be preaching? They'll just be hiding out? That's why they're alive? Well, look at the next verse, verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Doesn't sound like during the great tribulation they're hiding, does it? It sounds like they're moving with the gospel. And not only that, even in Israel, the center of the great tribulation, the most hottest flames of the great tribulation will be in Israel during the tribulation. Remember, Elijah's going to be preaching there. Moses is going to be preaching there. Right in the middle of the 7 years, they're going to be preaching, and you'll be able to see them on satellite, on television, preaching. And the beast will try to kill them. He won't be able to do it. But notice go to Matthew 16 now, and notice this, what it says there in Matthew chapter, is it Matthew 16? I'm looking for it here. What's that? Maybe it's Matthew 10. Go to Matthew 10, 16. And following. That's probably what I messed up there. A little dyslexic tonight. All right, go to verse 16 of Matthew 10. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, remember, the Philadelphian church is witnessing, and you're like a sheep. Now, if you're a sheep, do you want to run in the midst of wolves? You know, my daughter's cat, when my son's two dogs come in, that cat goes right up the curtain. And those dogs are following, you know. I mean, that's like a sheep in the midst of wolves for that cat. My daughter will not have the cat with those dogs. It's not happening. But the Lord says, during this time, if you're a Philadelphian Christian, you're going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, you know that those wolves want to eat the sheep, right? So that's what it says. But then look what it says here. And he says here, "Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves." In other words, you're going to have to use some wisdom. You're going to have to use some wisdom. You think about Corrie Ten Boom, and did she tell all the truth to the Nazis? No, that's an exception. And, you know, you got to be as sheep in the midst of wolves, and you got to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves during this time. Verse 17, "But beware of men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." But look at verse 19. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." And what do we say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't just live for the Lord today. He'll give you what you need today. And if you're there, he'll give you what you need then. And then it says in verse 20, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit," capital S, "of your Father." Who's that? The Holy Spirit. By the way, don't people say the Holy Spirit is out of the world before the tribulation? Well, then how are you speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit if he's raptured out of this world? No. They got it wrong, friends. The Holy Spirit will be here. And that's not the restrainer. It's not the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and so forth. And then it says in verse 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end of what? The great tribulation, which starts somewhere during the second half of the 7 years and is cut short by the Lord's glory in the sky, and then the rapture comes. And he says, "He that endureth shall be saved." Saved by what? Rapture. You'll be raptured out of here. So you went through all of that like a sheep, and God kept you alive. It's as clear as can be. And then notice what he says here. He says, I like this, verse 23, "But when," this is in Israel, "but when they persecute you in this city," what do? "Flee to another. For verily I say to you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." So what does a Philadelphian do? He witnesses, he uses discretion, he uses care for the enemy, but he trusts God, and then he flees to the next city. When he sees that persecution, he flees to the next city, and then to the next city, and so forth and so on. And he says, "You'll not have gone through the cities of Israel until the Lord comes back and rescues you out of here." In Matthew 24, he said, "You'll be able to go all over the world now to Gentiles and witness to them from one country to the next. People that haven't taken the mark, you'll be able to witness, and the Lord then will come back and cut that tribulation short with cosmic darkening, and then his light will shine. It's not a secret rapture. We're getting ready for a showdown that'll rock the world between God and Satan. They've been at it for 6,000 years, but it's going to come right out in the open, and the Philadelphian-type church is going to be blessed. All right, so let's go back now to chapter 3 again, verse 10, and we want to just finish that verse. And he says there, and notice this, he says, "I will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Now, I want to help you out. This hour of temptation, I used to think it was the Great Tribulation. But in the English Bible, it just says, I will keep you from the hour. Well, what hour is it when the world will be tested? It says, dwell on the earth. That means the earth dwellers, the people that are citizens of this world. They're not citizens of heaven. And he says, this hour that's coming is going to test them to see what they will do. Remember, Pharaoh was tested by what happened to him, and he had fake repentance. You know, when the judgment let up for a minute, the plague let up, Pharaoh then hardened his heart again, and God even hardened his heart. So this hour, what is, theologically, what is this hour called? One of the men, raise your hand if you know, real quick, so we can keep me in the time here. All right, Brother Bob. It's all right.
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord wrath. And when is the day of the Lord wrath? Right after that tribulation is cut short. That persecution of Satan is cut short. The darkest hour will be just before the dawn. And it will be dark. And then the Lord's glory will shine. And when the Lord's glory shines, he's going to do two things. One, it's called the day of Christ and then the day of the Lord. But it's one day. The day of Christ is the rapture. The day of the Lord is God pouring out his trumpet judgments, fiery judgments, destroying this world by fire, burning it up, melting the elements as like fervent heat. And when you get after six of these judgments in Revelation 9, we looked at it last week, so we don't have to go into it. They haven't repented of their abortions. They haven't repented of stealing their elections and all the rest of it. They haven't repented of their sorcery or their drug use and occult practices, satanic type stuff. They haven't repented. So when all that happens, they're going to do this to God and shake their fist back at God. And so this hour called the day of the Lord is coming. But he says to the believer that is in a Philadelphian type church, I'm going to keep you through this hour, and then I'll deliver you by rapture from the hour of the day of the Lord. And I just want to say one more thing about that. And I want to give you the contrast between the earth dwellers when the day of the Lord comes. And the day of the Lord comes right during the second half of the 7 years. And there are, during the whole 7 years, there are six seals that must be broken. Actually, seven seals that must be broken before the scroll is opened for God's wrath to be poured out on this world so he can take repossession of what's his. He's going to repossess the world back from Satan. But six seals have to be broken. Four of them are the four horsemen of the apocalypse during the first 3.5 years. The fifth is the martyrs in Revelation 6. So let's go to Revelation 6 because we want to go to that fifth seal and then the sixth seal. So Revelation chapter 6, please. And I want you to go to that verse number, okay? Verse number 9. Revelation 6, 9, it says that when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. See, the first four seals are the first beginning of sorrows, the first 3.5 years. The fifth seal's right in the middle, and it opens up what period of time?
The Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation. That's why these martyrs are here. These are Smyrna type people. They've given their lives, and now they're there. And now this great tribulation is going on, and they're praying in heaven. Look at them praying. And they cried, verse 10, with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Holy and true dost thou not judge it. Have you ever prayed that? How long, O Lord? We've been doing that. We've been doing that. Now, we're not even in the beginning of sorrows and we're doing that. Think of how much more they're going to do that in heaven. They're praying that in heaven. How long? The Lord says he's going to cut short that tribulation. It's not going to go for the full 3.5 years. It's going to be cut short. And what's going to cut it short? Look the next verses. All right, go up to verse 12. Here's what's going to cut it. The sixth seal. Tribulation of the fifth seal, sixth seal. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is a description of not only cosmic darkening, but of a great shaking. It's going to be a great earthquake. And the earthquake is going to move the islands and the mountains. You know what an island is? It's a mountain in the sea. That's all an island is. So it's going to move the mountains and the islands, which are mountain in the sea. You know what other scripture says that will cause? Tsunamis. Tsunamis. Now, this is not the day of the Lord yet. This is the last thing just before the sign of the second coming. And notice what it says in verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, we're talking about the earth dwellers and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And what are they saying? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now wait a minute, this is the sixth seal. This is during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. This is at the end of the great tribulation, which cut short. That's when the wrath of God comes. That's when the day of the Lord's wrath comes. Not the beginning of the 7 years. The whole 7 years is not the great tribulation. The whole 7 years is not the day of the Lord. The great tribulation is in the middle, and this is during the second 3.5 years. No man knows the day or the hour. That will be the sign just before the sign of his coming. Darkening and earthquake. And you see how people respond. They want to hide. They want to go in their holes. And, you know, preppers have places, elaborate places to hide. You think that's going to work? I don't think so. God can root them down, out. He's like Moab bombs. He can bomb them out. God's wrath is coming, and no man will be able to stand. And so God is going to burn up this world and to destroy this world. But here's what I want to show you. You saw the response of the earth dwellers. Are we still going to be here to see the sixth seal if we're alive at that time and we're Philadelphian believers and we survived? Are we going to be here?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are going to be. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand. We're not appointed to wrath. That says the wrath is right at the doorstep. This is the last thing, and then the light's going to come, and the rapture, and then wrath. So the wrath comes in Revelation 8, but this is the last thing. And it says the day of the Lord's wrath has come, and the world is freaking out because they know it. You hear, even unsaved people, they know it. They know it. They're saying, this is God. This is the Lamb of God. Who's the Lamb of God? The one that died so that we could be saved through his sacrifice. They've rejected it now. It's been all over the world. They've rejected it. And they're doing this. Now they're afraid, though. And they're hiding. And so, I just want to end tonight with what is the response of the believer, the Philadelphian informed believer that God has preserved through the great tribulation. What is his response when he sees that? All right, and I want to take you right to the scripture so we can all look at it together. So let's do that, if I can find it here real quick. Like the scripture I want you to turn to now is Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. And look at this. This is amazing. The doctrine of the second coming is amazing when you understand it. Luke chapter 21. And look at verse 25. And we'll follow a couple verses there. Now it says in verse 25, and there shall be signs, Jesus is speaking, signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now listen to me. Didn't we just talk about this in Revelation 6? The signs of the sun, the moon? Didn't the Bible say that? And now isn't Jesus saying that? Now what about this second part of that verse where he says perplexity on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and it says the sea and the waves roaring. What did we just say about the earthquake? What is an island? It's a mountain in the sea. What's going to make the waves roar? Tsunamis. Tsunamis. Earthquake. Tsunamis. Cosmic darkening. It's going to be a tremendous effect on earth after the sixth seal is broken, just before the seventh seal of the wrath of God. It's between the sixth and seventh seal that these people take cover, and it's between the sixth and seventh seal that what happens to us? Raise your hand if you know. One of the men. Kyle, shout it out.
In between the sixth and the seventh seal, we're raptured out.
Yes, we're raptured out of here! Now, I want to show you. You saw the response of the earth dwellers. They want to hide when this happens. They're perplexed. In fact, let's see the earth dwellers. Look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I saw a young man in his 20s doing push-ups in a gym, a video, and he got a heart attack, and it was like taken right out by a heart attack. Probably because of the jab. But listen, people, when they see this, they're going to have heart attacks. And you talk about high blood pressure, it's going to blow right up. And they're going to be taken out just like that. But wait a minute. That's earth dwellers. What about the Philadelphian church people? Well, look what it says in verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, these signs, and then you're going to see the glory in verse 27. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your what? Redemption draweth nigh. What's that talking about? Your body's going to be glorified. You're ready to be taken by angels up in the air. This is not a fairy tale. My friend, this is Bible truth. This is coming down the road. This is coming to a world near you. And the longer we live, the more we're going to see these bad things happen. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. But lift up your light. Let it shine. Let it shine. The Lord's coming back. Amen and amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come. I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come. And we want to pray and have a season of prayer to close our service tonight. But I want to be a Philadelphian Christian. Amen. I want to be in a Philadelphian church. Now, God may say, I want you to be a Smyrna. I want you to give your life as a witness. Well, he'll give me the grace when that comes. Or I may die before then. And if I die before then, I'm not missing anything. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, when that darkening happens and then the light of the glory of God comes, the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Praise the Lord.